welcome to another episode of After Sunday. I am your host, Elissa, and I'm joined yet again by Alex.
Back again. Summertime, just a few weeks left until the college students get back. We're getting close.
That's right. So today we are talking, we're continuing our theme of the revival of hope. So that's our theme for this month. And today we're talking about how to keep our hope in suffering. So really focusing on how we have that active living hope in maybe not the brightest of circumstances.
Through suffering. And we start off by talking about whenever you hear suffering, the person at the top of the list in the Bible has to be
Job. Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just thinking about some of the things that he overcame, I think we focus on a lot of the dialogue that he has when he's suffering with his physical affliction. Mm-hmm. But day one, I mean, most of your family is killed.
And like your possessions, everything you had, like your home, your stability.
One of the wealthiest people in the world at the time. And all of that's taken away. Your wealth, your possessions, your family. And then shortly thereafter, your health. And then your wife tells you to curse God and die. I mean, not a good week for anybody, right?
No.
So we look to him. And, you know, we look at him, honestly, indicative of ourselves, right? Because mm-hmm. there is this time period where he does stand strong in his faith. And he endures. And mm-hmm. his friends, we give them a bad rap sometimes, but they did come and sit with him for 6 days.
Yeah, in silence.
In silence. I don't know of a friend that I think I would sit with for 6 days. I think I would get hungry.
You would. You absolutely would.
I would get snacky and need to go somewhere. But I mean, sat with him for 6 days. But even they were echoing his wife's sentiment mm-hmm. of, you know, basically curse God and die. What have you done? What have you done to bring this about?
Oh, yes, there has to have been a reason. And you know, we're given the context of, you know, the entire Bible. So we know the reason, but he didn't. It's not like God came to him and was like, hey, so this is going to happen. Just letting you know. He, you know, this was all just completely out of context for him. Whereas we are reading the account, and we know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Job didn't have that.
Well, but after his period where like, hey, he's standing strong, he does start to question God. And then we mm-hmm. get the famous dress yourself like a man and prepare to be reprimanded verse, right? Mm-hmm. I forgot what chapter that is, but he does need reprimanded at some point, and God basically says, look, I'm still in charge. But, you know, to the point of his friends and his wife questioning, what have you done to bring this on yourself? We as humans trying to attribute, you know, why is this happening to me? That's always the question, right? Mm-hmm. When you lose a loved one, when you know, a financial hardship, when
natural disasters. I mean, yeah.
I was looking up facts on human suffering that we're not going to get into today because they're just too depressing to read. But, you know, you get stuff from the World Health Organization of here's all the diseases and how many mm-hmm. people die of this because they don't have access to clean water or basic mm-hmm. health care and things like that. And it's really sad. And the first question that we ask is why? Mm-hmm. But that's addressed in several places in scripture, particularly Matthew 5:45. And I don't know if you want to read it outright, but it's the verse that says basically it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yes, the sun rises on the evil and the good, and the Lord sends rain on the just and the unjust.
And again, I don't want to say there's no rhyme or reason, but it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. And we do question why, because we are human. And I think you and I have talked in the past mm-hmm. about, you'll see somebody and it's like everything just seems to go their way. Like they yep. fall just haphazardly into wealth and fame and fortune. And it's not that they try or they're working towards any of this. It just happens for them. Yep. And you're like, I'm doing all the right things. Why isn't this going my way? Mm-hmm. That's just how it works sometimes.
And it's also important to remember that going back to the questioning, like Job didn't pretend that everything was fine or good. Like he did question, he felt everything that a normal human would feel in this circumstance. I know a lot of times we hold him up on the pedestal, like, look at Job. He went through all of these things, and he never sinned with his lips. You know, we put him on this pedestal, but he still felt everything just like you and I would. And I think that's really important to remember. Whether things are going for us or against us, it doesn't make God any less God. He is who he is. It reminds me of something we said on a mission trip that I went to, and it's something that was repeated, and it was, God is good all the time, and you say back, and all the time, God is good. And that's still true despite your pain and despite your suffering, God is good. And he has not abandoned you. He didn't abandon Job. He didn't come out and, you know, give him a heads up that this was going to happen, but he was with him through it all.
And there's a few congregations in this area that say the same thing. There's a preacher, here in town that he'll say, God is good, and the congregation replies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always thought that was a fun little back and forth, but he is good all the time. And that perfectly leads into the next verse I wanted to bring up. But 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3, you can read 3 through 9, but I'm just going to read the 3 mm-hmm. or 4 here. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And we can read, 5 through 9 later. But the God of comfort, and I think comfort's mentioned, 5-6 times just in those two mm-hmm. verses? And when we were talking before coming on air, we were saying, well, if there's a God of comfort, that implies we need to be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
So I would read this as a telegraph of things are going to happen to you, that mm-hmm. there are going to be trials and tribulations that come your way. And even back to last week's podcast, the analogy about the sword mm-hmm. of coming out better on the other side.
Right.
That's a good way to deal with that. But I feel like we've kept on the theme here of bad things are going to come your way. It's how you handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But God's there for it all. He's there for the good times, and he's there when it rains.
Exactly. God comforts us in the hard times so we can be well positioned to comfort others. It made me think, this point really made me think of a verse in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, when Mordecai is talking to Esther and he said, who knows, perhaps you have been placed here for such a time as this. And I really think about that in terms of like what we're talking about today. Like we go through our sufferings, we go through the troubles and trials of this life, and ours all look different. I'm not going to struggle with the same things that you struggle with, and vice versa. But when we do go through them, we are well equipped to help others through similar circumstances. And so it's important to not, don't kind of ignore your pain or let your pain be for nothing. There's a reason for that. Suffering teaches us to fully trust in God and not in ourselves, and that we're not in control. But don't forget that you can use your pain and your suffering and what you're going through to encourage others, to help them through those difficult times that they're facing.
And one of the people that I think of that does a good job of this, she'll be embarrassed that I'm talking about her on the podcast, but my mother, many people know she had breast cancer several years ago mm-hmm. and got through that. She's fine now, goes and gets checked regularly, and she's been good for several years now. But when she hears of somebody else who has breast cancer or is going through that, she's very quick to let me call this person, or what do they need? Do they need a support system? Because she is now better equipped to give advice,
because
to tell,
she's
comfort
gone through
that
it herself.
Person.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of different things like that go on that we don't really see, but one trip down to Memorial Hospital and you can see all mm-hmm. kinds of different volunteers and people. And a lot of them are people who have had health issues or been through something, had a car wreck, been injured somehow. But now that they've gone through that suffering, they can say, hey, I can go help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
If this happens to you, I'm here for you. And what a great attitude to have. Mm-hmm. What a great thing that mom does, and many people like her. If you ever see somebody wearing a pink band of some sort,
mm-hmm.
the breast cancer awareness, you'll see it on my dad. But, I had one, and I think I lost it in a sock drawer somewhere, so I need to go find that. But, but it does, to your point, make you well-equipped, and it makes you feel good, too.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about service in the past, but when you say, oh, hey, I've experienced this, you've kind of already got a bond with whoever you're mm-hmm. helping. So you've
exactly.
got that community, and there's a bond there, and you just feel good doing it. So mm-hmm. it's a win-win when you come through that on the other side.
It's also important to, when we talk about how our suffering can help others, it helps us keep a good perspective on the situation. So I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're talking about, I think that's when Paul asks for his affliction to be removed. Do I have that? I think that's the right section of verses. And the Lord says, my power is made perfect in weakness. But Paul really got a new perspective on like what's really important. And the important was to glorify God. Is that made it all the more amazing that Paul is this revered apostle, yet he had this major thing in his life, we don't know what it was, the thorn in the flesh, that he dealt with, that he asked God to remove from him 3 separate times. So this wasn't something, you know, like, oh, I got a sunburn, oh, I got a mosquito bite. Back to that mosquito bite in a couple minutes.
We'll come back to that.
But the perspective is that it all is supposed to go toward the glory of God and to furthering the gospel. So when we suffer, it's not for nothing. There's a reason why we're going through it, and most often it's so we can help others through it.
That's 2 Corinthians 12:7-9.
Okay, I got it.
Asking for that, yeah,
I got it right. Okay,
nailed it.
And then again, in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he calls it, you know, this suffering a light momentary affliction. So again, that perspective. This is temporary. This whole life is temporary. This season of suffering that you're going through right now is temporary. And remember that the goal is heaven at the end. And don't let your suffering kind of pull you away from achieving that.
I feel like this is a step down from talking about breast cancer and real types of suffering. But when I was in high school, we had t-shirts printed. And on the t-shirt, it was a football t-shirt that they handed out, you know, around that season to all the students. And the slogan on it was, pain is temporary, pride is forever. Mm-hmm. And coaches would say that in practice. And basically, like, we're putting you through pain right now so that you're going to be equipped to play in a game. And again, not to make light of suffering or mm-hmm. people with afflictions or dealing with the loss or anything like that. But the pain that you experience in a practice of working out or running or whatever it is that you're doing equips you to come out better on the other side, to our point. Mm-hmm. And now back to that Disney.
Spoiled it. Back to the mosquito bite.
And he mentions it, of course, when I go to count how many people are in the nursery. So for the 3 minutes that I was out of the booth today, and Craig, I know you listen to these, so I apologize, but I missed those 3 minutes because I was trying to count. But I did hear my name come over the intercom. So I'll let Alyssa fill us in as to what happened here.
So the example was that losing your perspective on suffering is like letting something as small as a mosquito bite affect something as big as an entire trip to Disney World. Disney World, the happiest place on earth. You know, people spend Absolutely. Lots of months planning, lots of months saving to take this trip to Disney World. And it'd be as if you got a mosquito bite the first day and then that's all you could think of. That mosquito bite colored your entire experience. And at the end of the week or however long you're there, all you can think of is, man, that dang mosquito bite. And it's like you miss the whole bigger picture because of one small little thing that was happening in that point in time. And you know what? By the time you're home, that mosquito bite is going to be gone, but you are not going to remember all of the wonderful things that happened to you at Disney World because you were too busy focused on the single tiny mosquito bite.
And that for the bigger picture, again, it's why I think it'd be so difficult for somebody to go through life as an atheist is that they don't have that bigger picture. They mm-hmm. don't know that Disney World is on the other side. And again, I'm making light of this, but they, all you can focus on is the pain and the suffering that you're going through now, because there's nothing better for you. Mm-hmm. And we have the comfort, back to 1 Corinthians 2 here, if I had that one right, but back to Corinthians, we have the comfort in knowing that there is something better. Mm-hmm. And if we view that as Disney's waiting on us, heaven's waiting on us, mm-hmm. don't worry about the mosquito bite. I talked to a client of mine last week, and her husband's not in good shape. They're older. They're in their late 80s. Husband's on hospice, and she doesn't think he'll make it that much longer. He was a Baptist preacher here in Chattanooga, but she said he's excited. He's on hospice. No, he's got months left, but he's excited to be where he is because in his mind, he knows that there's something better. So what a great attitude to have, mm-hmm. and an attitude that we all should have. So I don't want to say should, one that maybe we should strive for, mm-hmm. but we know there's something better, and I think that's important to keep in mind.
As Craig mentioned today, it's a win-win. Whether we continue in our struggles with our strife or we get to go home, it's a win-win for us. You know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We've used that verse on the podcast several times. So as you go through the week, whenever you listen to this, just remember, we're all in this together. We all suffer. It's not something we go through alone, but we're here for you. and we're all here to comfort one another. Thank you so much for listening this week.
We'll have Parker cue the We're All In This Together song here at the
we'll
end.
See. We'll see.
But thank you all for listening. Until we meet again, God bless you
Take
all.
Take care, everyone.
This
is After Sunday.